I love you anyway, gorgeous. So, I'm glad for the extra half hour, at least. During the summer, I always feel really rough in the morning. And when we take seminary into account, and everybody else up, stop a half hour, 45 minutes early. Oh, God. The mornings are just so much more pleasant for me. I know they're not for you, because you would rather sleep until the end of time. I don't know. It's got to be closer to the end of time than it is the 6 or 7 hours that I think most people need. I think it's closer to 10 or 11. I love you. But I know some stuff about this. I still love you though. That's why I say, hey, if Lisa goes home every day after all this and takes 2 or 3 hour nap, she goes, good for her. She needs it.
Oh. And then I'm up and I'm okay. Oh. If I sleep longer than that, I'm so groggy and feel drained and lethargic and
trouble. So I have this one set of slides I have, and it's only three. I've had to split into two different 10-minute presentations, and I still think I'm just not doing it justice. So I'm going to split into three. It's going to be a 30-minute topic, man. It's like, good crazy, what's going on here? So I have to pull back and say, Jason, just remember, this is just fundamental. You're not supposed to get into any kind of depth at all. And you go, heck, I can't even get people, I think, enough of a background to make it even useful. Because it is a kind of a large chapter to begin with. It covers, ranges over a lot of ground. Anyway, so I recorded two videos and I threw them both out because I wasn't covering the whole thing. I split it in half. I did both of those, but I don't think I covered it very well. I had to start racing at the end and you go, oh man, I'm losing it. Struggle with how to stay sufficiently broad without a lot of depth, which is a problem for me, because I kind of do both. I'm broad and deep. Deep at only some things, not so deep at others, but still, you know. Yeah, for probably having looked at enough human relations to probably take a pretty good PhD in anthropology. I don't want to have a lot to do with it, because it's just mind-bending. We need to get it. Oh. that's one of the problems. If it was clear and open, it'd be nice. I'd probably prefer, something general. The only thing you really have to do is you have to do one dissertation on one thing. It doesn't even have to be what you're interested in. Or what you want to spend all your time studying.
Philosophy.
Yeah, that's too broad.
You said general.
Yeah, I know, but it's too broad. Well, you can't do a dissertation just on that. It has to be about something specific. Who is it? Peter Weller?
People don't philosophize anymore. They look back to old philosophers and talk about their philosophy.
Yes, I know. That's why students... That's why when somebody says, well, I'm a philosopher, I said, no, you're not. You are a study, a student of other philosophers.
You're just taking a philosophy because people don't know how to do it anymore.
Well, no. No, I don't mean to be rude. Except to say that no, a philosopher is a thing. It isn't like I'm a machinist. You can see me doing my machine work. You know, I shape metal. Philosophy isn't like that. It's different. It has to do, well, the whole concept of it is a lover of wisdom, and you go...
But people don't come up with their own wisdom.
No, they usually don't. They just glom together stuff from other people.
Yeah.
And you go, yes, I prove my credentials by how much I know about, you know...
Those other people's wisdom.
Yeah, what these other people said. And you go, oh, careful what they say, I want to know what you say. You know, well, I am the foremost authority on Aristotelian thought. And you go, why am I listening to you? Why don't I just read Aristotle's book?
Yeah.
Why should I listen to you? Unless I just want an overview of it, which is what college typically is anymore. So you aren't going to really study any one thing. They give you a really broad overview, and it's really shallow, and it's kind of stupid. There you go, yeah. I think all this certification is starting to really wear on the whole concept of it. Are you really a scholar? What does even being a scholar look like? Do you even want to be a scholar if it's as defined the way it is now? So I don't know. Who are they talking about? Peter Weller, the actor. The guy that played RoboCop. Dr. Alfonso.
Yeah.
Anyway, he recently got a PhD, right?
Uh-huh.
Italian Renaissance
art.
And he did his dissertation on it, you know? He did the whole thing. Walked through it. Did all the work. Published it and has a PhD. And you're going, so is that really what you want to spend the rest of your life studying or talking about? If you choose to teach, is that the subject you want to teach upon? And he goes, no. He goes, so why'd you choose it? He says, it was interesting at the time. He says, the only thing you actually prove to anybody is that you have the chops for doing something like that.
Yeah.
Now there's plenty of PhDs who that is all they know.
Funny.
And all they do, you know, I'm an economist and I don't ever get outside of my realm. I concentrate solely on this, and you go, that's not very impressive. How are people going to learn any wisdom from you? That's the whole point of a PhD, is that you are seeking wisdom, and in your seeking, you share. And that's how you take students. Is in that sharing. It's like all the guys who, when I was working fixing their computers, they go, you know what, you just don't come off as a computer dude. And you go, no, I don't. And you go, but you seem pretty good out there. I know people who are a lot better. They just live and breathe this stuff. I really don't. And you know, we'd be talking about something and say, you know what? One of them even said, the actual, you can get really straight answers out of Indians. You know? It's not all garbled up and trying to be perfect, right? And who was it? I forget which one of it was. Was it Sangu? Anyway, he said, you don't act like a proper servant. And I was like, what? And he said, people that do this kind of work, computer work, they're servants. And I said, yeah. He said, but you don't behave like one. I go, no, I'm really not. He says, this isn't what I do. This isn't what I'm going to do until the day I die, except for money. You know, if I could get enough money to feed my family by doing something else, I'd probably do something else. He goes, I can have discussions with you more like a colleague. And I said, yeah. He says, you can have your PhD. And I said, yeah, I know. I'm kind of working on it. He says, frankly, I really don't have the money. He says, or a better way to say it, I'm not willing to sacrifice my family, specifically my wife's comfort level to chase after a PhD at this point in my life right now. Maybe once the kids are gone. So yeah, he was always kind of funny that way. He just, yeah, if you don't, you shouldn't be doing this. I go, I know. I says, but you know what, pays good. I said, I think I make more than you do.
Oh, yeah.
I asked him, and he said, no, I make a little more than you do. And I go, well, you know, that's true. He says, but see, I'd have to start all over again. I said, you've been teaching for, and being a researcher for 10 years. I would go and get my PhD, and I'd start at the very bottom, making $30,000 a year at best, until I got some chops. And you go, at this point in my life, it's over again like that. Surely can't afford to do it with my family. And he's like, oh yes, I am just married, and I just have one child, and they're 6 years old. Yeah, see?
I have six children.
Yeah. He says, well, I said, you made this choice a long time ago to pursue this when you were young. So your family grew up knowing that this was the way it was going to be. You know, you're going to be struggling and starving for maybe a decade or two, and then all of a sudden, you know, you would get a more prestigious posting and you would be paid more. Which I think is funny, because I bet you right now, Sangu is probably out of a job for the fact that New Mexico State University has let a lot of people go. You know? Even the research side. This is their bed and butter. I know. Pardon me. They go, so yeah, I don't know. It's pretty hard times for everybody. Because when it comes right down to it, it's most likely that me, even though I do something that might not be considered very academic, scholarly, whatever, upper class,
yeah.
I've still got work. And the chance of me being excised from my job is pretty low.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, it's a fact of life. The most things that go on in college are a little bit illegal, you know, to be honest. And it can only be justified financially when people are in pretty good shape. People don't mind spending the extra tax money on a state institution of higher education when things are pretty flush. Right now they're not very flush. And we see no indication that it's really going to get any more flush. Especially when it's based on oil. Oil right now is very expensive. And there's no real reason why it shouldn't stay inexpensive. There's no... I don't think there's some weird bubble going on about it. I think this is actually probably its basic value. Anyway, so... Yeah, I just found that interesting. So, no, I don't know what I want to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if what I chose to do for a PhD, if I get to that point, wasn't quite esoteric and out in the weeds somewhere. You know, because I would be doing it strictly to get the PhD credential. Just like I do with my master's degree. They said, oh, you must have stayed very hard. Well, nope, didn't stay at all. I did what was required to certify. And that's all. And the master's I got was the least expensive that I could contrive.
That's $9,000.
Yeah, I said I knocked it out.
Yeah.
And you go, it's just work. It's just work needing to be done, and most of the time needing to be invested. Everybody says that about their PhD too. Because all it is a product that you have to produce under certain circumstances. There's a chance if I wait another 5 or 10 years, a method of getting a PhD will be inexpensive for me and much more amenable to my ability to get it done. So I'm kind of holding out for that. That was kind of the whole deal for the Western Governor's thing for my master's. It was a good intersection of resources, drive, and the ability to get it done. It was more like that. That's why I'm thinking, at least it's 13 miles. That time's not right. Boy, I'm going to be too old. You go, well, if that's true, then I just won't bother getting it. The only reason why I got my master's when I got my master's was the fact that I thought there was going to be some benefit that I could actually take advantage of. So I never went to New Zealand. That was one of the reasons for getting it, because I wanted to keep that door open. But now I'm 50. Let me go. I technically got five more years on stuff like that, but I'm not going to take advantage of it. There's no point.
So, how many more years do you need to work before you get your retirement from the Board of Education, whatever it is?
15? 14, 15?
So,
oh,
by the time you're 55.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's lucky.
I'm not off. But I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. I know what you want to have happen.
I know
you want to play it incredibly safe because you're a very conservative person. That's fine. A water fountain. Every building has one. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you anything more specific than that. Do you want the water fountain for drinking, or is it something you're supposed to find? We have a water fountain in the middle of the concourse over there. I think it's probably turned off right now. Yeah, no. As far as I know, every building's got several. Sure, sorry. Usually by the bathrooms, and I think they usually point out where the bathrooms are. Now, I don't know, see, all these things are secured, so your best bet would be to go to the administration building. It doesn't have key access, so you'll be safer going that way. And there is one on the first floor. It's just one long hall. You'll see it. He's not going to make it this way. All the doors are locked. So it's like, oh, so we can stay this building. Yeah. Well, they don't have time. Probably have time to do with the nightgown. Which works. You know, they go ahead and usually don't. If you mourn enough, there's not a problem. Doctor, training systems program, it's gone. Yeah. Currency and five retired at this time. It's a whole new world out there. She came from a world where the state throws a lot of money at things and the university can get a lot of money running state program. And now the government just doesn't have the money anymore. Which is a little bit honest. Never really had the money to begin with. Shouldn't have taken the money in the first place. Set up a bad feedback, which is hard to get out of without hurting a lot of people. That's the whole problem with Obamacare. And the Republicans stopped coming. You know, they said there's either, because Obamacare isn't going to work, we already know that. So the whole point is, you know, it's all a prelude to single-payer health care. And you go, yeah, I think they got that right, and I think that's exactly what the Democrats were doing. They were playing a game. Because now that it's in place, and there are poor people benefiting off of it, you can't get rid of it, right? Without huge political downfall. Okay. Sure. You need some variety in your life, eh? That's good. That's good for you, Lisa. Being kind of a rut person. Want some variety? Crazy. Whew. Jeez. You can tell that nobody has to use this type of stuff. I don't want to get too much.
That was the branch I had talked about.
Oh, okay. Okay. And that's what's going to happen until there just isn't enough money and the government has to cut something. That's the only time you'll see government ever cutting anything. And the federal government doesn't have to do that. They can just print more money. It doesn't have to be fiscally responsible. First thing you got to know about federal government does not have to be fiscally responsible. Except from a political standpoint. You know. And that only reins it in a bit. It doesn't rein it in sufficiently. That's why the problems are the way the problems are. So.
Where is that?
Remember that one? Oh, God, look at him. Small plane, I'm going to say. All right. Good morning. That anyway. It makes it so that small institutions have no possibility of actually qualifying for the kind of things the federal government makes you bid for. Too small. You've got to be huge. You know. There are some stuff that are made for small places. But you have to pour so much money into getting them, they're harder with the effort. So, like Eastern, you live off of what's easy picking, although that's starting to shrink up too. The federal government doesn't mind because it says, oh, he's probably got too many colleges anyway. You know? There's starting to be a backlash. He's got all these colleges, they hardly fulfill any particular purpose. They really aren't about scholarship at all. Eastern has nothing to do with scholarship. Sorry, Eastern. Don't mean to be rude to all the wonderful academic characters, but you guys aren't out there in the forefront. If you're a person who wants to be taken seriously in the academic field, yes, ma'am. This will only be your first stepping stone. You will do this right out of college because you're desperate for anything to get something on your resume so that you can go to a real university doing real stuff and garner real respect and have the capacity to go after real money. That's a fish.
Yeah,
so yeah, we're just playing some game here.
I think it's the university here closed down. The whole city would dry up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
There's employees. How many people?
Well, actually, you'd be surprised how little employees. The big windfall comes from all the students with lots and lots of free money. That's where the real windfall is. This place only really employs about 400 people.
That's 400 families.
That's not true anymore, sadly.
Is your family?
A lot of people here. The husband has a job here, the wife has a job here, and one of their older kids has a job here. Usually. So, yeah. We go, yeah, you know, those are the people that wear green and silver everywhere. You know, the real diehards. Because, yeah, if they went someplace else, their income would actually go down, even if it was more prestigious and one of them got a really big raise. It wouldn't make up for the fact that a large proportion of their family also works here on a certain level. Like Will. Will's dad is a professor here. Will's mom, I think she works, she was a custodian. In fact, I think that's how Will's mom and dad got together. It was a little midnight kiss. They weren't married. They never got married. Will's this love child, almost, as far as I'm told. I don't know if that's true, but that's what's said. And so, yeah, he's one of those cases. Is he going to get a job here? Yeah, he's going to get a job here. It's part of the fun. That's usually reserved for faculty. Faculty, for somebody who's hired on faculty, if they bring a spouse with them, they try to get that spouse a job doing whatever for school, right? Janitorial, you know. Whatever they're capable of, yeah. And they tend to like kids who went to school, you know. So yeah, that's kind of how they keep this place running, is that you don't have to, give people huge salaries. They get the multiplication effect. Yeah? It's like the Benavides when we're buying our old house. He makes a little bit less than I do. He makes a lot less, but together they make quite a bit more than I do. You know?
Yeah.
That's all that matters. The group income. So anyway. And that's how people make it these days. Like I've always said, we're an anomaly. The one earner household is stupid in these days. You'll always be poor. Unless you're a lawyer, unless you're a doctor with a good specialization, you can play that game if you want to. Most people don't even bother, they just make double. You know, Mormons are goofy that way. Let's get less and less like that. Oh, he's having a good time, man. There's a guy that loves his job. Lots of success for that. Destined to be a groundskeeper in the Celestial Kingdom, and he'd just be having a ball, you know? And you would wonder why you're not as happy as he is, Miguel, because you've figured out what makes him happy. You haven't figured out what makes you happy yet. That's why I am mostly envious of simple people. I think...
If you tried to live a life like those simple people, you would go start raising
probably, yeah. Probably, yeah. That's right. No, I'm still... But I'm envious of what they're able to have. You know?
It's simple.
Right. Because I can't on a certain level. I couldn't be fulfilled by that where he probably can.
He walked by that.
Cut
grass and my nose started
running. Oh boy. I already picked that stuff. So you might like picking me. Hopefully I don't smell like something rotting or something. I apologize. Oh. Anyway.